Today's reading from Ecclesiastes is perhaps one of the most well-known verses in Ecclesiastes, but we know very little about the author. His title in Hebrew is Kohelet, which means someone who leads a congregation, translated by some scholars as teacher and others as preacher. According to rabbinic tradition, Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon in his old age. The poem itself is very matter of fact. The author's not trying to paint a picture of a perfect life, but instead give a realistic picture of the world. Life is not all rainbows and dancing. It's not a 1960s musical or a Disney film. Life is as painful as it is joyous. It's a complete package of light and darkness. So we should embrace the light and learn and enjoy the gifts that come from it, and learn from the hardships that come with the darkness. Life is a matter of timing. Timing is everything. This should be obvious to us, shouldn't it, really? How many calendars, clocks, and watches do you own? Not to mention the time is a built-in extra to lots of technology. Phones, DVD players, TVs, cookers, tablets, computers. Even our cars have clocks. Time is everywhere, and the key word in this scripture is time. It appears almost 30 times in 8 verses. Time itself is a powerful force. It can't be bought, and we all have the same 24 hours in a day, 168 hours a week, and 8,736 hours per year. Time moves the same, although it can feel like it moves differently. Time can move slow when we're doing something we don't want to do, like when we have chores to do. But holidays fly by. Our children's childhoods fly by. I can't believe my daughter Alicia is 4 this month. And the last time I was here, I was pregnant with her. And it seems like 5 minutes ago. My 20s flew by. How am I in my mid-30s? But time stands still as well. It stands still on our wedding day, that first kiss. But time itself is always the same. And you and I have the same 24 hours each day. Time is the currency of our lives. It's even said that time is money. But unlike money, you can't get more of it. Once it's gone, it's gone. Each moment is precious. And time is the currency before which all currencies bow. Time can't be gambled away and it isn't traded. Can't be given. Time is always spent. Sometimes we spend our time and we feel we've got an equal measure back. Other times we waste time and it's at a loss. Let's look at how we spend our day. So how do we use our 24 hours? We sleep for 8 hours. We work for 8 hours. Plus the commute to work. The average UK commute to work is 54 minutes each way. So that's another hour and 48 minutes. We're up to 17 hours, 48 minutes. We have to eat and prepare that food. Let's say eating and preparing 3 meals a day plus drinks for the day takes 2 hours. Watching TV, what do you think? 2 hours? Then we have chores, personal hygiene, using the toilet, another 2 hours a day. In case you've lost count, that's 23 hours, 48 minutes. That leaves 12 minutes. Now I've forgotten something that we should all do during the day. Any ideas? Yeah, exactly. Now let's change our hours into money. If each hour is a pound and we're giving God the leftover change, the change we found down the back of the sofa perhaps, what does that say about our relationship with God? In this section, 28 statements are made, 14 positive and 14 negative. They are opposites of each other. The writer isn't making judgments on a topic. He's simply stating events that happen under heaven. And it's also clear that these events are not random and do not happen by chance. God has a purpose behind them, although God's not mentioned at all. It's implied that God is in control. On the one hand, this might be worrying, because we like to think we're all in control of our own destinies, don't we? But on the other hand, it should give us hope. God exalts and raises individuals and nations, then allows them to fall down. We don't always like to think about that, do we? We like to think about God raising us up, making things better, but allowing things to happen that aren't quite so good. That's not such a great feeling. There are many theological arguments about why God allows us to suffer, but I think one of the reasons God allows us to suffer and allows negative things to happen to us is because if we never experience sorrow, we can never experience true joy. A less is always needed. Scripture says that God, the day of our death is set. God has set the day of our death. Again, not something we like to think about. But God knows us so well that he knows the decisions and the choices we will make before we've even been born. Think about that for a minute. Think about some choices that we make. It's like a parent raising a child and knowing in advance they'll make poor choices and having to sit back and allow that to happen. Think about how that must break God's heart sometimes. No matter what happens in our lives, God will take control if we allow him to. God's ability to take control can be questioned sometimes, though, when we look at the world around us. How often do we pray for the world around us, for our environment? And yet, look at it. As humans, we're destroying it. God's beautiful creation and his gift to us, and we're destroying it. Then we have the election of Donald Trump to one of the most powerful positions in the world. I mean, in my opinion, he's a bit of a walking, talking disaster. But that's just me. Do you think that if we prayed about every decision before we made it, the world would be a better place? If we actually took the time to talk to God about all our decisions, not just the big ones, you know, what house should I buy, where should I live, but actually the little ones, the mundane actions in our lives, and actually listened for a response before we acted, that we might be different people living in a different world. But no matter what we do, God is in control of the basics of our lives. He decided the time of our birth and the time of our death. But one thing the writer doesn't mention, as I've said before, is a time for God, a time for prayer, and a time for reading the Bible. I think the author thinks that a time for God's a bit of a crazy thing. As far as they're concerned, God isn't someone you make time for. Instead, all time is for God. God will be there in our birth. He will be there when we die. He will be there when we plant and when we harvest. Next one's a little odd for our modern minds. He'll be there when we kill. And again, the writer isn't painting this perfect picture. And as we've seen in recent times, wars have led to killing. God will be there when we heal. He will be there when we tear things down and build them up, when we weep and laugh, mourn and dance, scatter stones and pick them up, when we embrace and refrain from embracing. God will be with us when we search and when we give up, when we keep things and when we throw them away, when we tear and mend, when we are silent and when we speak, when we love and when we hate. God will be with us in times of war and times of peace. God doesn't need to be mentioned because he's always with the writer. We often hear talk about making time for God. Let's make time for God in our lives. Think about it. Let's make time for the creator of time. It's a bit ironic, isn't it? And we have this opinion that God should fit into a slot in our lives. But maybe God should be our entire lives. Now, don't feel bad if you've done this. I know I have. You've had a really busy day full of things you've had to get done. And you're ready to go to bed and you're exhausted. And you realise that you've not thought about God all day. So, this is what I do. I grab my Bible, I read a few pages, say a quick prayer, and think, it's okay, I've done my bit. But when we do this, all we're doing is giving God a change. The same change that we find down the back of the sofa, the change of our lives. When we should be giving God all that we have. No, we should be giving God more than we have. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. Such a well-known story. Amazing miracle. Now you may be sat here thinking, oh, did that really happen? But I believe it did. Jesus fed 5,000 men, plus women and children, because a boy gave Jesus all he had. 5 loaves and 2 fish. So imagine what God could do in our lives if we stop giving God our scraps of time and begin giving him all our time. Question is, though, how do we do that in our modern lives? We saw how they were divided up earlier. We lose 16 to 18 hours on sleep and work. Then we have homes to run, we need to eat. It can seem impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. If we commit to God first, it will happen. Our lives are a journey. And nobody expects us, especially God, to be able to click our fingers and instantly put God first. We are not static beings. Our lives and the world around us are changing. You may think, I'm not changing, but look back 5 years. Your lives and the world around you have changed. We all move into new seasons of life, and one season has to end before a new season can begin. Think about where you want to be by the end of this year. What do you want your relationship with God to look like? Now, maybe you're happy with your relationship with God, but I know I could be closer to my Father in heaven. I want to give all I have to God, because when we do, God uses us for change. So imagine what can be done with your life to glorify God if we allow him to use us. You may think, I have nothing to give. The great thing is with God, he doesn't value the things the world does. He doesn't care what car you drive. He doesn't care what job you have, where you live. He doesn't care about those things. He wants you to come just as you are. You may think, I don't have any time. I physically can't do this. I'm already drowning. And here I am up here, and I don't know your lives, asking you to give more time to God. The great thing is, though, God's everywhere. Do you remember how you felt when you were a new Christian, that passion? Maybe you still feel it, maybe you don't. I know at times I've let things get in the way of my relationship with God. If that's you, don't worry, it's fine. Because the good news is that God's still there, he's still waiting, he still has his arms outstretched, reaching for you. He's looking to welcome you back. He wants to bring you closer to him. Now, at the moment, I'm a stay-at-home mum. And one of the things I miss from working is I used to spend a lot of time on the road. I used to visit schools to look at working with them in regard to recruitment. And sometimes I'd be on the road for sort of 5 or 6 hours a day. And the thing I miss isn't the driving, but it's the spending time with God. I used to talk to God in the car. And I used to arrive at schools actually not knowing how I got there, which was a bit worrying, because I'd been so engrossed in my conversations with God that I hadn't really paying much attention. But somehow God made sure I got there in one piece. I used to look forward to those days because I knew I got to spend real time with my Father in heaven, not the snatched 5 or 10 minutes here or there. Although, if that's all you can give, then that's okay, because God knows what's going on in your lives. The most important thing is to hand over whatever you can to God. Not because I'm up here telling you to, but because you want to. The writer appears to take all this for granted. He assumes God was with him, and he was. Centuries have passed since this scripture was written, but God has remained with us. And all the change he wants from us isn't this. Not this. Which is sometimes all we do give God. God wants us to change our hearts and desire to put him first. Let's pray. Lord, at times our lives seem impossible, and at times we can be left wondering how you do what you do and how we can do what you ask of us. I pray, Lord, that you will help us all put you first. Help us give you all our time, Lord, and I pray that our time will be used to glorify you. I pray that we will stop giving you our change and stop giving you what we find down the back of the sofa and what's left of our day and start giving you our all. And I pray that you will use that time to glorify you. In Jesus' holy name, amen.